Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In his third meditation, René Descartes is going to provide an argument for God's existence, one that has proven to be a bit difficult for some of his readers to follow. So we're going to run through that argument for God's existence. And one of the reasons why it's difficult is because it turns on a distinction that Descartes makes between what he calls objective reality and formal or actual reality, which is rather different than how we use those terms today. So that's one issue. The other thing is that those who are accustomed to thinking about arguments for God's existence using the classification that has become quite popular from the time of Kant on downward, distinguishing ontological arguments from cosmological arguments, from teleological arguments, and then, you know, throwing everything else into a sort of a miscellaneous file, they're not going to be able to find an easy way to categorize what Descartes is doing within that classification. Because in a certain respect, it kind of looks like an ontological argument. It's relying upon some sort of idea of God and using that to argue that there has to be something corresponding to that. On the other hand, it also resembles a cosmological argument in that we're talking about cause and effect, but it doesn't neatly fit into the classification of either. And it also relies upon a notion of degrees of being that we find in yet other arguments for God's existence. So, all that said, let's look at the argument itself. We start by looking at the idea of God. And for Descartes, he talks at many points about God. So let's just look at one formulation. He says, I have a concept, or I conceive of a God who is sovereign, eternal, infinite, immovable, all-knowing, all-powerful, the universal creator of all things that are outside of himself or different than himself. And is a typical way that Descartes would characterize him. I mean, he has all the perfections. So it's not taken to be just those things that Descartes has rattled off there, but anything that you think of as a perfection, that is of a way of having being to the highest extent, that would be God. So all being all-knowing, that's a perfection, right? Having created everything other than himself, that's a way of being greater than everything else, that's a perfection. Being eternal as opposed to being time-bound or coming into existence at any given time, that's a perfection. So you could think of it as like the sum total of all perfections that are genuine perfections. That is what Descartes means by God. That is what is contained in the idea of God. And it's with the idea of God that we have to start. Now, Descartes tells us that this idea has the greatest degree of objective reality. As a matter of fact, it surpasses any other idea that you could possibly come up with. They're almost not comparable to each other. But that, you know, however you're going to frame it, it's at the apex. God is at the top of the pyramid when it comes to objective reality, or at the one end of the scale. And nothingness would be at the other end, total non-being. This idea has the greatest objective reality, which means that it has the greatest amount of reality as an idea. Not necessarily as a reality yet, but as an idea, it's greater than any other idea. Once you concede that, you can start following Descartes down the line that he is going to outline here. And he's going to bring in some other important building blocks for the argument. This is something that he frames in multiple ways. You could say that you can't have something with greater reality than its cause. Whatever caused that thing has to have at least as much or greater reality than that. And so when he's talking about ideas, he says that ideas derive the reality that they have qua or as ideas, objective reality, from some cause. We don't just get ideas coming out of nowhere. He says, not only can non-being or nothingness not produce anything, but also what is more perfect, that is what contains in itself more of reality, cannot be a consequence and a dependence of something less perfect. And he says that this is a clear truth that we grasp through what he calls the natural light. And so if you think about this, decide whether you actually agree with him at this point. And if you do, then you can proceed with the argument. So ideas, if we're going to play off of this distinction between objective and formal reality, ideas derive their reality from some cause, in which Descartes says there is at least as much formal reality as that idea has objective reality. So now we're getting outside of just the realm of ideas, potentially at least, because he does consider the idea, or the notion, let's say instead, that ideas could, you know, derive from other ideas, as is the case, for example, he says, when we compose ideas, we take ideas that have a certain degree of objective reality and we combine them together and we get something else that has equal reality. Although there is a cause for that has greater formal reality, and that's us. We are the cause of the ideas that we call produced, right? So those at least have us as a greater cause. Descartes is going to use this to get us to discussion about God. And when it comes to our ideas, we should think about, well, where could we actually get these ideas from? Could it be that the idea of God actually doesn't represent anything? He says, could it, one doesn't have to say that maybe this idea of God is materially false. That is, we have this massive idea that has the greatest degree of objective reality, but it's got no connection to anything outside of itself, because in this case, we would have to get that idea from nothing. Here he says, that is, that it would be in me from what I have of lack or deficit or something like that, like some other ideas that I have that are quite indistinct. Descartes thinks that that cannot really be the case. I can't be the source of the idea of God, he says. Why not? Well, because I am not infinite. I'm finite. I'm limited. I'm imperfect. If I think of what it is that I am, I'm not going to have gotten this idea about God from myself. And where else am I going to get it? If it's going to be from something that has at least as much formal reality as a cause as that idea has as an effect, it's not going to be by putting together stones or any other thing that doesn't have a great degree of formal reality, not even the great degree of objective reality as ideas. It would have to be from an actually existing God. So it's very important that Descartes considers, well, could I have created this idea myself? And he says, no, I can't be the source of that idea. And here he talks a little bit about the nature of infinity. He actually says that the idea of infinity is not merely a negative idea. He says, I don't have to imagine that I don't conceive infinity by a true idea or truth-giving idea, véritable idée, but only by the negation of what is finite, the same way that I, for example, comprehend rest and shadows by the negation of movement or light. Why? Because, to the contrary, I see manifestedly or clearly that there's more reality in infinite substance than there is in finite substance. Again, he's using this distinction between different degrees of being as part of this argument. So he says, and beginning from what I have in myself with this notion of an infinity, I can do this and I get to understand God in a certain sense better than I do myself. And this is even granting that my capacities are so limited that I cannot comprehend what infinity is. He says it's of the nature of infinity that my finite mind can't comprehend it. So that's taking away a possible objection at this point. So what is he telling us? The idea of God has to be a true idea, not only in that we have that idea, not only in that that idea has the greatest degree of objective reality, that is reality as an idea, but that it has to be in some way corresponding to, however dimly, because we can't fully grasp infinity, a genuinely infinite being possessing all perfections that would exist in reality, not merely potentially, not merely eminently, but with what Descartes calls formal or actual reality. Ergo, God exists. So he does also have a few other considerations that he uses to shore this up, and one of these has to do with the idea of clear and distinct ideas, or the conception of clear and distinct ideas. Descartes takes this as a hallmark for the truth of ideas, and he says that the idea of God is very clear and distinct. Why is that the case? Well, because everything, he says, my mind conceives clearly and distinctly of the real and the true, and here's the important proviso, contains some perfection, is contained in that idea of God. So if each of the, we could say parts, although they're not really parts, because God is a simplicity as well. But if we want to talk about them as parts, each of the parts is clear and distinct. That means that the idea itself of God is also clear and distinct. I mentioned a proviso there that it has to contain some perfection. So even though we could have, for example, a clear and distinct idea of something that doesn't contain a perfection, perhaps a very, very clear and distinct idea of the letter A, that's not going to be in God, right? Because it's not a perfection. So what do we have here? We have an argument that begins from the idea of God, says that there's something really unique about this idea, namely that it has the greatest degree of objective reality, that is, it has the greatest reality as an idea among other ideas within my mind, brings in the notion of cause and effect, the causes of ideas, and connects the formal or actual reality of the thing, its existence in reality, as we would call it, to this objective reality, the idea of it as a representation or as an idea itself within the mind. We say that there has to be at least as much formal or actual reality in the thing, in the cause, as there is objective reality in the effect. We know that it has the greatest degree of objective reality, so its cause must have the greatest degree of actual reality. It cannot be in me, it must be in God. And we can conclude by talking about what Descartes then thinks about this idea of God and how it got in him. He suggests that the idea of God, which is actually an innate idea, as has been revealed through examining this, is sort of like the mark that a worker or a craftsperson places on their product. And so it allows Descartes, because this idea of God has been placed within him by God, to trace his way back to his own maker and to understand himself in relation to that infinite perfect being, which must exist, according to Descartes, by using that very idea of God. So that is the argument as he sets it out for God's existence in Meditation 3. He will provide another argument, which is very clearly an ontological argument, for God's existence in Meditation 5, but this is perhaps, regarded by some of the experts, a stronger argument, at least on its face, as we find it here in Meditation 3. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.